Good afternoon. Thank you so much for joining us today. It is the 7th of February, Tetzayin Shvat, Tafshin Pei Gimel. And today we're learning about bitachon in the Sefer Orchos Tzadikim. And we're talking about habitachon hashlishi. Remember, the Orchos Tzadikim had said there are many areas of life in which we have to trust in Hashem. And the third one has to do with relatives. So we're going to start talking about relatives today. Habitachon hashlishi, the third area of trusting in Hashem that's necessary, v'inyan ishto, is regarding one's wife or one's spouse, uvanav, one's children, ukrovav, one's relatives, v'oavav, and one's friends, close friends, acquaintances. How does one approach the relationship with these people? And if you've been with us for a while, you know that the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, in the Guide for the Perplexed, when he talks about Eov's struggles, one of the three main struggles had to do with familial relationships. Im abateach hazeh, if this one who trusts in Hashem, nochri, he's like a foreigner, like a loner, v'ger, he's like a stranger, below isha ukrovim v'chaverim, if the person is alone, doesn't have a spouse, doesn't have relatives, doesn't have friends. Sometimes the person says, I don't think I have any friends. There are people out there who don't have relatives with them or don't have relatives really for all practical purposes. Or there are time periods that we feel we don't have relatives or friends because sometimes our relatives and friends have disappointed us. And then a person might say, I don't feel that I have any friends. I feel I'm all alone. Whatever that scenario is, this lonesomeness, the Orchos Tzadikim tells us, what should a person do when a person feels alone? A person feels, I don't have anybody, chas v'shalom. And there are people who don't have anybody. And then there are those who feel they don't have anybody. And then there are time periods that we don't have anybody. Yikach Elokim l'karu v'l'chaver. There's hope. The person can take Hashem as a relative and as a friend. That means my best friend, my closest relative, is HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's Hashem. He's my relative. But where do we see that in Tanakh? Where else but Shir HaShirim, the national anthem of Klal Yisrael, about our loving relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Dechsiv as it says, Shir HaShirim, Perakei, Pasek Tez Zayin, Zeh Dodi, this is my beloved friend. Hashem is my beloved friend. V'zeh Rei, this is my companion. So if all else fails, and at those times that we think we've been let down, we've been disappointed, our expectations were not met from our relatives, Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is my friend. I do have a friend. I always do. I have someone who I love and who loves me. It could be through learning Torah. Hashem speaks to us through the Torah. My Rosh Hashiva, Rabbi Wein, told us that after the Holocaust, there were so many people like this. They were alone, literally. And someone came to his Rebbe, and he was brokenhearted. He felt destroyed because he lost his whole family. Chas v'shalom, lo aleinu. He came to his Rebbe. He said, Rebbe, I don't have anybody. I have nobody. The Rebbe said to him, my dear friend, do you have a Gemara in your house? You have a Shas? That's your friend. Abai of Arava. They're transmitting the Torah to you from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which was given to us with so much love, so much affection, so much care from Hashem. That's your friend. Open up your Gemara. Learn Gemara. You'll see. You'll connect with Hashem. Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. Hashem is my beloved. Hashem is my friend. Whenever I feel alone, and even when I do feel that I'm accompanied and surrounded by relatives, and I am having that type of emotional support, maybe financial support, all types of support, but still, the ultimate friend, there's only one. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zeh Dodi v'zeh Rei. That's what Shlomo HaMelech expressed in Shir HaShirim and Perakei, Pasuk Tes Zayin. But this person who feels alone, or at times that a person feels alone, the Yachshov, what should the person think? Call me Sheyesh Lekrobin, any person who has relatives. La'achar zman mu'at, after a small amount of time, Yashuv Nachmi, he'll go back to being like a foreigner again. He'll sit alone. He'll dwell alone. Now, wait a minute. What's the Orcha Sadikin talking about? That sounds a bit pessimistic, doesn't it? A little gloomy, no? No, it doesn't have to be literal. For some people, sometimes it is. Chas v'shalom. They end up alone. Or maybe everybody moves out of the house. Empty nest syndrome. Maybe everybody moves away. They move to another city. Vadad yeshev. The person says, I'm alone. Where are my relatives? Even people who have relatives, it's not a life guarantee that they're there forever. We hope, we daven, we're optimistic, of course, we're besimcha. Our relatives will be with us. They're always going to be together. We'll share simchas together, of course. But there is the situation, the scenario, where we are alone or relatively alone. Below Yoel Oso, Lo Karov, it will not help this person anymore, even the one who has the relatives and tons of friends right now. Lo Karov, Velo Vein, Velo Chaver. There might not be a relative around to assist anymore. That might not be a child. Children grow up. They move away. They become aloof. They become independent. But that's healthy. It's supposed to be that way. Below chaver. Sometimes friends are only temporary. Below yischaver imo echad mehem. Eventually, it's very possible that a person who's flocked by friends and relatives might not have those relationships. Might not be connected with them anymore. So even the person who has it might not always have it, and then their people will come and go. There are people who leave town, then they move back to town. There's people who are close with us. There's the hot and cold thing. They're close, then they're far, and then they're close again. It's nothing dependable 100%. There's only one who's dependable. Zed Dodiv is Zed Rei. It's only the Ribono Shalom. He's the only friend I can always depend on for the rest of my life. Every single second, every millisecond, Zed Dodiv is Zed Rei. Zed Dodiv, this one. This is the only one. It's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. B'zerei, this is my beloved friend. Of course, Hashem sends us relatives to help us. We're going to talk about that now. But it's not absolute, guaranteed, forever, at every second. One reason that people resent their relatives, because their relatives disappoint them. But we don't need to be disappointed. We don't need to expect so much. I once, in the classroom, I said, does anybody in this class feel hatred toward any of your siblings? Surprisingly, a few hands went up. I said, well, why? Oh, it's because they're obnoxious, because they're annoying, because they don't meet my expectations. So how do we love our siblings? How do we love our relatives? To not expect from them so much. Lower the expectations raises the love. Because I don't expect everything from you. You should always be there to deliver. Or Chassidikim tells us, V'yach shavach harkach. And then the person who doesn't have so many friends and relatives, or thinks that he or she doesn't have them, or feels alone, should now think, Tirdaso mikrovim hamutalim alav. On the other hand, if I had a bunch more friends and a bunch more relatives, then I might have more responsibilities. We're supposed to look at things from every angle and become well-balanced. My Rebbe, my ninth grade Rebbe, Rabbi Kastenstein, once said, you need to be a well-balanced Baal Musar. To be well-balanced, we have to see things from every angle. So yes, it's a tremendous advantage to have the affection and the love and the camaraderie of friends and relatives. But on the other hand, it also creates more responsibility and more work to do. So if I am responsible for the needs of relatives, I'm going to be busier and maybe I'll be more distracted. V'yachshav zeh l'tova. And therefore, if a person doesn't have so many of those responsibilities, the person should think that that's a favor from Hashem. That's what fell in my lap right now. Not very many relationships, not very many friends. Shim hoyalo asek, because if the person had something to do, he was busy being yone ha'olam hazeh in worldly matters, which does come along with having lots of friends and relative relationships, hoyatircho meruba. His toil and his labor would be increased. He would have a lot. Lo hoysalo menucha. He wouldn't have any rest. He'd constantly be involved in trying to meet the needs of these relatives. Again, what are we explaining now? How does one come to peace with the fact that he or she doesn't have so many friends or relatives, or it seems to have none? But if the person's busy in matters of his or her end, meaning ruchnius and eternity, and the matters of mitzvot the person could be involved in, v'yichud libo l'elukim, and also unifying his heart and dedicating himself to Hashem,
without the distractions of lots of relatives and friends who need him all the time, who are kind of like draining his emotional energy, if he doesn't have all of those demands, his heart will be more free and he'll free up space. His heart will be unified and also it will be dedicated when a person is alone below Krovov, without his relatives. Ein Safek, there's no doubt about that. So that means there are advantages to everything. So the one who lacks relatives or feels that he lacks friends or relatives can say, okay, let's look at the positive side. Not the half-empty cup. It's the cup that's half full. The full part is that I have more time to be dedicated. I can learn more. I can say Tehillim. I can write Svarim, whatever it is. The Al-Kain, and therefore, the people who separated from lots of worldly involvements, who were dedicating and devoting their hearts to Hashem, and they were meyached, which means that they, in their hearts, they devoted themselves to Hashem. They would flee from their houses. They would run away. He uses lashon of borech. Sometimes it's healthy to flee. Meaning, in a peaceful way, not to like leave in a huff and slam the door. It's like, okay, I kind of like need to retreat to a quiet area now. I will love you all. I will see you in a little bit. Sometimes we need to flee from their houses, umikravam, and from their relatives. Of course, it's healthy to have some distance at times. El haharim. Not always is this literally true, but to go to the mountains, some people do go to the mountains. They go to the Pocono Mountains. They go to the Appalachian Mountains, whatever they are. The Catskill Mountains, that's where I come from. So, yeah, El Haharim, the mountains the Orcha Tzadikim is talking about are the ones that are really quiet with Hashem's nature that he created, Kedei Sheyafanu Levavam El HaElokim, in order that they will turn their hearts to Hashem. So what is he telling us? He's explaining that people who don't have so many relatives and friends, it's an advantage for their Avodas Hashem on one hand, because they have a mind that's free to dedicate to Hashem. In fact, I once heard of a Pesach Kron, he said a drasha that Hashem said about the Yetzer Hara, and he said that when you come to your house, that the Chatzos Roveitz, well, Pesach Chatzos Roveitz, it says by the opening of one's door, sin is kind of crouching. In other words, there's a lot of explanations on it, but the simple pshat is when a person comes home, what happens is that it's like a test for the person's patience and emotions when he or she is met with all types of familial challenges. So it's a deeper shot on the pustik. By the opening of one's door, chatas roveit, it's like sin is crouching, waiting to meet the person. So what are we trying to say? That it's okay to have time away from people. The one who doesn't have very many relationships with friends and relatives has an advantage of having that freedom. We also need to have some distance from relatives sometimes, and it's not a lack of any midos to have to do that. It's a healthy situation. But now let's look at the other type of person. If the one trusting in Hashem was Baal Isha Uvanim Ukrovim Va'ohavim, was a person who has a wife, a spouse, and children, and relatives, Ohavim, close friends, this maybe is more common. And then there are people in the middle, but he's now describing the person who has many friends and relatives, children and a spouse, and I feel I need to meet the needs of all these people. They have expectations from me, and maybe I have expectations from them. How do I implement and activate bitachon? Yivtach be'elokim. The person should trust in Hashem, sheyitim lo koach, that Hashem will give that person the power, the strength, the energy, l'shalem lahem, to pay to them, mashachayev lahem, whatever the person is obligated to them. We have obligations toward our family members and friends. We have to be a good friend to our friends. We have to be a wonderful neighbor to our neighbors. We have to be a loyal spouse to our spouse. We have to be a phenomenal parent to our children. We have to be a respectful child to our parents. That's all absolutely necessary. But how am I supposed to do all that? That's beyond my ability. That's correct. It's beyond the human ability to be successful and all that, unless it's Yiftach Be'elokim. Person needs to trust in Hashem. Ribono Shel Olam, you have blessed me with all of these relationships and interactions that I have. Ribono Shel Olam, I need guidance and help. How to do it? To navigate the labyrinth of projects and issues and everything else I need to work through. I have obligations. Hashem, please help me. I can't do it by myself. And to do their desires. I want to have as many happy relatives as possible, satisfied with me. Will I sometimes disappoint people? Yes. There will be disappointments, and they sometimes disappointed me, but I shouldn't be disappointed. I should lower my expectations. And the Kodesh Baruch Hu, can you make it that they'll lower their expectations from me so that they'll also be satisfied with what I do? The Yivtach, again, the Orach HaTzadikim uses the word again, but in the same sentence. He has to trust. He has to trust and trust in Hashem. He has to activate Bitachon, Sheheilibo Shalem Imahem, that the person's heart will be whole. It's going to be sincere with all these relatives. The Yore Osam Drachim. And also, I need to trust in Hashem that I'll be able to guide relatives who need that guidance. The Inyone HaTorah V'Avodas HaBore. Because that's part of what I'm doing in this world. If I have a connection with people, they could be a spouse, parents, children, siblings, students, friends, that is not a coincidence. Oh, I happen to fall into a kesher with that person. There's no such thing. This is from Hashem. It's min Hashemayim. So then Hashem is expecting something from me. To be a good friend, to be a guide to those people whom I could guide. Mostly by example, as we know. But the motive in being a guiding light to one's family and to one's siblings, and to one's children, and to other relatives, is not in order that the person, not because the person expects, shayavolo revach, that the person is going to somehow profit or gain, machmazeh mehem. To think, to expect a thank you note, to expect gratitude, we're not supposed to be expecting gratitude or recognition. Okay, true. There is something called kavod abrios. And at least acknowledgement, we would hope there's going to be. But to expect lots of gratitude and recognition and acknowledgement, that's not realistic. I think we all know that. We shouldn't expect it. We should just be happy that I have the opportunity to help somebody. I trust in Hashem that Hashem will give me the ability to help whomever I can help, but not in the back of my mind waiting for that thank you note, waiting for that praise. That's not what's supposed to be my motive, no? Nor should a person hope and wait that people will honor him because he's showing them the right way to serve Hashem. Again, this has to do with motives. It has to do with taras halev, the purity of intention and heart, like the Maseilas Yesharim talks about when it talks about tara. What is my objective in doing what I'm doing? Why am I doing it? It's supposed to be to do the Ratzon Hashem. If part of it is that I also want to make sure that I'm recognized and honored, that's what the Maseilas Yesharim calls taroves ha'iser. It's a mixture of prohibited matter. Because if I have mixed motives, I'm going to stumble a little bit. I'm going to be held back. I'm going to be bogged down. Because you know what? If I love honor and recognition, I will never have enough of it. So it would be smarter to not think about that. If it comes, it comes. Fine. But the purpose is to serve Hashem. When I show people the way that they're supposed to act, by hopefully by example and by improving myself and by teaching or whatever else it is, it's not supposed to be with expectations of thank you notes and gratitude and acknowledgement. The basic human dignity of a thank you, yes. And yes, parents are supposed to instruct their kids to say thank you, Rebbeim and Moros, and everybody is supposed to do that. Of course. In fact, many years ago, when I first moved here, I was going to give a tea, it was called the mikveh tea, at the house, at a very close to the house here in Cincinnati. And I was talking about kavod, and there was a very close of a Rebbetzin. Her name is Rebbetzin Lipschitz, and she said, very penetrating and now an insight that we have to keep in mind, and that is that at home we're supposed to teach our children to give kavod to rabbeim and teachers, and in school there should be the education to give kavod to parents. Each one should teach them, the children, to give kavod to the others. But the kavod is supposed to be given by those who give it, but not expected by those who receive it. The acknowledgement of what's called kavod abrios, now that is something that's very rudimentary and basic. We all were allowed to expect that, but not like recognition and all types of fame for what we do and to become well known. That's not what it's supposed to be. Lo sheyichabduhu, the Aruch HaTzadikim says. Not that people should honor the person, avershu maralam derech hayasher, because the person is teaching Torah or Musar or guidance. Below these Torah aleihem, nor that the person should feel that the person is lording over them, meaning a superior or power hungry type of thing. El yaseh kedei lekayem mitzvas habori baruch hu. Why is the person doing it? Why is this person serving as a wonderful relative and friend only to fulfill the mitzvah of Hashem, Habore Baruch Hu, the creator of Levad? That's the only reason we're supposed to do it. So this advice I'm telling myself is to try to sort out my objectives and to remember to keep the sights clear. I'm doing this l'shem shamayim. I'm doing it with pure intentions. Why am I doing it? It's what Hashem wants me to do. That's why I'm doing it. The Yachshov. And we go further, the Aruch HaTzadikim tells us, what if a person is in a leadership position, let's say in the family, or with students, or with community, what should the person be thinking? What is my position? Where do I stand? Shehu shlucho shel makom. A person should remember that the person is a messenger, an agent of Hashem. Lelamed lekrovav ulo'avav. To teach his relatives and his loved ones. He should not hold gratitude, goodness to himself, and think, oh, look how great I am for doing this. Now, he has to have the pride. The pasuk says, "Vayig ba'alivo b'darchei Hashem." A person has to feel pride, spiritual pride in doing it, not pride lording over others and being superior to others, but grateful and happy and fulfilled that the person is being so efficient and is functioning in such a positive capacity. But not, oh yeah, I deserve all kinds of gratitude for this. That's not the pure intention we're supposed to be having. Below yig ba liba waleya. Person should not feel superior to others. The person should feel pride and feel satisfaction and positivity and fervor and passion in what he or she is doing, but not to the point that I now feel that I'm better than others. No. We know the Egeres Ramban, he mentions the famous letter the Ramban wrote about humility. We're supposed to see that others are superior to us. Each person has something over me that I can look up to. Therefore, I need to honor and to show tremendous respect to every single person. And now we're going to talk about expectations. If a person needs something from his relatives, and they do fulfill that need. Let's say the person needs some financial assistance, maybe some emotional support, maybe some time. I want to talk to you. I want to get something off my chest. I'll feel better if you listen to me. The Amalu Chesrono. Sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu sends relatives who will fulfill that need. Yachshov Shem Shluchov Shaham Makom Baruch Hu. The recipient of that favor, of that benevolence, should think that these relatives and friends are sent by Hashem, l'malas chesrono, to fulfill the person's need. V'lo yiftach b'hem klal, but the person should not trust in the relatives. Don't place one's bitachon in the relatives, because if I start trusting in them, ultimately they will not always be able to be there, and then I will be disappointed if they have human failings because simply they're human beings and I was depending on them. Well, let's start again. And not depend on them, depend on HaKadosh Baruch Hu to send shluchim. When they fulfill those needs, they help me. Baruch Hashem. And of course we have to acknowledge them and thank them and love them and cherish them and also try to help everybody else as well and let it be reciprocal. But our bitachon is not supposed to be on or in those relatives. They are just messengers from Hashem, even though we're acknowledging them and we're expressing gratitude to them. What if a person seeks something from one's relatives, the yashiv upon of Reikam, but they will turn the person back empty? Did it ever happen? You asked a relative for something. Boy, I'm sure this sibling of mine is going to be able to help me out here. I'm sure that my parents will be able to be there for me. I'm sure they're going to be able to come and visit me, or they'll let me come for Yontif to their house. I call them, and, oh, I'm sorry, I don't think it's going to work out for whatever reason. I'm not able to. The Yetzer Hara says, hold it against them. Be insulted. The Yetzer Tov says, love them. Don the Kapskus, judge them favorably. Say, this is from a Kaddish Baruch Hu. There's a different relative. There's a different messenger who can help me. That's what the Aruch HaSadikim tells us now. If it's Yeshiva Pan of Reikam, if relatives or friends or anybody sends me back empty, and I feel so disappointed, Al Yosim Aleim Chatos. The person should not place any guilt or sin in his mind on those people. Oh, I expected my parents to be superhuman, perfect, never, ever losing their patience. That's what I expected from my parents. And oh no, one out of 1,000 times, they lost their patience with me. I'm so sorely disappointed. That's really not fair, the Aruch HaSadikim says. I expected my children to be perfect. Boy, is that not fair. Al yosim aleim chatos. The person is not supposed to place the blame on that human being. Ach yachshov, ki har beshluchim lamakom. The person has to think, there are many messengers to the omnipotent. Hashem has so many agents that he sends, lamalas chasrono, to fulfill the person's lack and need. So, the summary of that paragraph, when it comes to relatives and friends, whatever benevolence, whatever favors, whatever pleasure, whatever nachas, whatever positivity we have from parents and from friends, Baruch Hashem, Hashem sent these people, and we have to be very grateful to them and acknowledge them. But if they disappoint us, we don't need to be disappointed. We shouldn't be, because that's from Hashem. There are others who can fulfill that need. Maybe if I was sent back empty, maybe Hashem has a different plan for me. In this case, need to figure out how to be independent right now. I do want to mention, as we're closing today, it says in Koheles, Ya Oshek Yeholel Chacham. And the way that Rav Baruch Levi Epstein explains it, the Torah Tumim, based on a Medrash, Oshek in this pasuk can be explained like Asek. That, and it's like a lashon of fighting, when a person, an unscrupulous person, or even if he's not unscrupulous, when somebody who's provocative provokes a chacham, it can confuse that chacham, the abed, a slave matana, and it can destroy, at least temporarily, a heart of wisdom, which is a gift from Hashem. And we've talked this out before in this Vad. But the deeper pshat that Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein brings out is lev matana, a heart which is a present from Hashem that the chacham has, and then he gets discombobulated. He gets confused. He gets provoked by someone who's provocative, who's irritating to him, who's consistently bothering him and kind of pushing his buttons. What happens is, ya'abed is lev matana. It causes him to lose his heart. But matana could mean mesuna. Rav Baruch Halevi Epstein explains this in conjunction with the Medrash, the heart of patience. He says it happened to Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was so patient. But when Dathan and Aviram irritated him, they provoked him so much that he became angry at Hashem. He said to the Baruch Shalom, why have you done evil to the Bnei Yisrael? The end of Parsha Shmos. Why did you send me? This is after Dathan and Aviram really got on his nerves. From the time I came to Paro, Herol Amazeh, he did made it worse for Bnei Yisrael. Patel Oitzal to Esamecha, you didn't save Bnei Yisrael. Hashem said, you're angry at me, you're losing your temper. Well, you won't get to see what happens in Eretz Yisrael in the conquering of the 31 kings. What happened over there? The answer is that Moshe Rabbeinu, Lev Matana, he has a heart that's a gift from Hashem. It's a heart of wisdom, but it's a Lev Misuna, as we said before. It's a heart of patience. Even that person, Moshe Rabbeinu, can be provoked. When we think of our parents, or our siblings, or our children, who work on their middle so much, and sometimes, rarely, but it happens that they are moved to a point of emotion when they lose their patience. It happened to Moshe Rabbeinu also. We can't expect perfection from people, including our parents, even though our parents are supposed to be as close to perfect as possible. But we have to be tolerant. So the Or HaSidikim tells us, if we lower our expectations, we don't expect perfection from our relatives and friends, we'll be able to love them. And our bitachon is supposed to be where? Zedo divazerei, ribono shel olam. You are my friend. This is my friend. This is my beloved. Hashem is my best friend. He's my only absolute friend forever. All the other relatives and friends are messengers from Hashem. Mr. Hashem, next week we'll continue to talk about the fourth type of bitachon. Thank you so much for joining us.